What is the first thought that comes to your mind when you hear the name Sani Abacha? Sani Abacha had an appetite, a very strong appetite. No, not for food alone, but for power. His rise to the top of Nigeria's military echelon without skipping a single rank might give you a sense of his appetite. While it's been more than 20 years since Abacha, one of Nigeria's notorious, or to some, the best head of state, died, his story has not escaped the minds of those who lived through his regime. And today, we take a piece of his story.
Hello, welcome to Long Story Short with Liwa, a podcast that tells the true stories of Africa through the life and experiences of some of its iconic figures. Here, we tell no tall tales. We tell real African stories. So, grab a coffee and take a seat, because it's story time.
Before serving as Nigeria's military head of state, he had proven his worth in different capacities as a young military officer after he was commissioned as a second lieutenant in 1963, having completed trainings at the Nigerian Military Training College in Kaduna and the Mons Officer Cadet School in Aldershot, England. Abacha took an active part as a major in the Nigerian Civil War, where in 1969 he served as a platoon and battalion commander. Let us fast forward to 1975, after the war. Colonel Abacha served as the commander of the 2nd Infantry Division of the Nigerian Army and then as general officer commanding of the 2nd Mechanized Division in 1983 as a major general. Probably because he was performing well or he was outstanding, he was later appointed as a member of the Supreme Military Council, the highest decision-making body in Nigeria that time, as a chief of army staff under General Ibrahim Babangida's regime. Abacha did not just take his first opportunity at power to become Nigeria's de facto president. No, he had been building his career right from being involved in the July 1966 counter-coup while with the 3rd Nigerian Army Battalion in Kaduna. That is 3 years after he was commissioned. Abacha played an instrumental part in the 1983 Nigerian coup, which brought in General Muhammadu Buhari to power. Now here's the funny part. He was also part of the August 1985 coup, which removed the same Buhari from power. What a snake. Now, like a politician building a career in front of the press, he made the announcement of the coup which removed the government of Shehu Shagari. So, Abacha was well known. It was good for the camera and also good for the work. As we have heard from different accounts, Abacha was a ruthless authoritarian. He was known for his human rights abuse, corruption, and also money laundering, which Nigeria's present-day government still tries to recover from countries they were stashed. He was callous to groups he considered a hindrance or an obstacle to his government. He ordered a crackdown on the media, pro-democracy, and even civil rights groups. A notable event that marred his reputation on the global stage was the conviction and hanging of writer and activist Ken Saro-Wiwa, as well as several executions of Ogoni activists opposed to the exploitation of Nigerian resources by the multinational petroleum company, Royal Dutch Shell. This made Time magazine to name Abacha Thug of the Year in 1995. And this also led to Nigeria's ban from the Commonwealth of Nations. Following General Babangida's refusal to release the results of the 1993 presidential election, Abacha imprisoned Chief MKU Abiola for treason when he came into power. After the presidential candidate, that is MKU Abiola here, declared himself president, because he believed he won the election. If you search through Nigeria today, any adult who lived during Abacha's regime will have something to say about him or his administration. Abacha had secret informants across the Federation who nobody could identify. And as such, it was almost unheard of to speak of him in a bad way. And if you did, one could go missing without a trace.
Consequently, the following decisions come into immediate effect. The interim national government is hereby dissolved. The national and state assemblies are also dissolved. The state executive councils are dissolved. The brigade commanders are to take over from the governors in their states until administrators are appointed. Where there are no brigade commanders, the commissioners of police in the states are to take over.
On September 17, 1993, Abacha, while serving as the Minister of Defense and the highest ranked officer in the Nigerian military, forcefully took power from the interim president, Ernest Shonekan, who was the head of Nigeria's transitional government. Shortly after he declared himself president, Abacha, in a bid to ensure that Nigeria's economic, political, and educational resources reach every nook and cranny of the Federation, reorganized the country into 6 geopolitical zones, which are still in use today. They are the Northwestern Region, the North Central, the Northeastern, the Southwestern, the Southeastern, and the South South Region. By 1993, Nigeria's foreign reserves were at a meager $494 million. But by 1997, the reserves had risen to $9.6 billion. Abacha also helped in reducing Nigeria's external debt from $36 billion in 1993 to $27 billion by 1997. While Nigeria's main source of income, which is crude oil, was at an average of $15 per barrel, Abacha's administration was able to reduce an inflation rate of 54%, which is inherited from the Ernest Shonekan administration, to an impressive 8.5%, or between 1993 and 1998. Abacha instituted the Petroleum Trust Fund to address major economic issues facing the country at the time, mandating it to publicize its accounts, considering that it was the second largest public corporation at the time. Can you guess the first? Well, moving on. In 1997, the Petroleum Trust Fund's account showed that it disbursed funds for road construction, security, and health. It also recorded other disbursements, which include funds for water and food supply, and also on education. Major cities in Nigeria like Kano, Gusau, Benin, Funtua, Zaria, Enugu, Kaduna, Aba, Lagos, Lokoja, and Port Harcourt all benefited from Abacha's road construction projects. Just like almost everything about Abacha, the Petroleum Trust Fund had its scandal involving a missing $20 billion from its account. A story for another day, maybe. One thing we dare not forget is how Abacha still, in a manner of speaking, supports the economies of different countries around the world. How, you say? Well, the stubborn grasshopper stole so much money from Nigeria's treasury, and since he couldn't keep them in the country, he stashed them in countries around the world using names of shelf corporations, family members, political allies, and even non-existent individuals. The monies he stole amount to so much that if it is withdrawn all at once, the economies of these countries they are stashed in could crash instantly. However, some of the money is being returned to Nigeria's government to aid the country's frail economy. A sort of bailout from the grave, from the greatest sugar daddy the world has ever known.
The key oil-producing country of Nigeria is in a state of flux. Its military leader, General Sani Abacha, has died of a heart attack. Abacha was 54. Top officials of the West African country convened an emergency meeting to sort out the question of succession.
Upon Abacha's death on June 8, 1998, there was a feeling of relief and at the same time panic among Nigerians. And the speculations that followed his death did not help the situation at all. While some say he was poisoned by Indian prostitutes brought from Dubai, a claim which has been debunked by his chief security officer, others say he was poisoned by top officials in his government who were dissatisfied with his administration. Meanwhile, another theory speculates that his death was orchestrated by foreign influences, since his health started deteriorating after he shook hands with security personnel who accompanied President Yasser Arafat of Palestine, who was on a state visit a day before. However, the official report from the Nigerian government stated that he died from a heart attack. He was buried the same day according to Islamic rites, which prevented an autopsy to be carried out. This fueled more conspiracy theories. So, to cut the long story short, passing a verdict on the sort of person Abacha was, his economic policies, and everything else about him will be a disservice to you, my dear listeners. The truth is, he was far from a saint. His time as Nigeria's president was probably the period that broke Nigeria's fighting spirit. Today, it is rare to see Nigerians protest bad governance, hold a political rally to seek redress, complain about the misuse of public funds in the open without having a target on their backs. It is as if the scars from Abacha's time still linger in the old generation, which they have passed on to the new generation. Only time will tell how long the injury from the scars will linger and how the pain will be put to use.
And with that, we draw the curtain on today's episode. Thank you for listening. And remember, if you want to support what we do on this show, then please share with your friends, subscribe, and leave a review on our website and also on iTunes. Well, that's all for now, but I'll see you in the next episode of Long Story Short, hosted by me, Liwa, from Jamit.fm.
Long Story Short was produced by Liwa and Aiko Rizu. This episode was edited, mixed, and mastered by Aiko Rizu. Long Story Short is a production of Jamit Media.